Be still and know that I am God. On earth exalted high, and all the nations of the world my name will glorify. The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God our strong defense and fortress will remain. Take a copy of God's Word. Offer to you again this afternoon here, Nottingham City. Word of God, God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Living God, God of the Holy Scriptures, God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, that God, the only God, the one you know exists just the same as I do. Like a copy of God's Word is offered to you quite freely and without any cost and any obligation to you. It's the water of life, it's the bread of life, able to refresh your soul, feed your soul, able to make you wise for salvation, which is to be found through faith, trusting, that is, in Christ Jesus the Lord. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do please come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. Gentleman in passing just now, I offered him one of my Christian leaflets in reference to God's forgiveness. He was, to all intents and purposes, he was a black man. He mentioned, muttered something about plantations and some reference to slavery. Of course, obviously, some kind of a chip on his shoulder about some historical events, which of course had nothing to do with me, or him either for that matter, but I understand where he's coming from. But you know, the one thing he didn't understand, he doesn't get, I tried to point out to him, but he wasn't for talking. I said to him, you know, I said, the thing you don't get is that we are all of us slaves. Every single one of us. We're born into slavery. You know? Some people, of course, they think it's all done and dusted. It's all gone. It's all Mr. Wilberforce back in the day. He brought an end to slavery in this country. But no, he didn't. Because we're all, each and every one of us, we're still born into slavery, the slavery to sin. It's our master. We have to do his bidding. It cracks the whip, and we have to do what it tells us to do. All of us slaves to a sin, all of us to a man, to a woman. And of course, the only one who can set us free is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's what he came for. It's what he was born into this world for. It's what he died for. It's what he rose again from the dead for. That you might be set free from your bondage, your slavery to sin, your master. Of course, you may wish to argue the point, and I would say to you simply, well, try and buck your master. Try and go against your master. Try making a stand against sin, your sin, I mean. Try, if you will, resisting, maybe perhaps resisting blaspheming God's name, you know, telling lies, cursing your fellow man, God himself. You know, it's ingrained in us. It's in our DNA. You're hardwired for sin. And the more, of course, you try to resist it, well, the worse it gets. You try to be good, you know, we all do to some measure, but the harder, the more you try, the worse it gets. No, only Jesus, only the Son of God, only He can set us free. And of course, sin is the cause of all the trouble, all the mayhem, all the chaos, all the suffering. Question over the last fortnight has been asked of me again and again, why, if God is God and who the Bible says that He is, then why the suffering? Why the pain? You know, why doesn't He help me with this? Why doesn't He deliver me from that? The good questions. Questions, of course, that well spring to my mind even as a Christian. Even as one who has been born again, even as one who has been forgiven, even as one to whom the promises of God are, you know, these questions still arise in my mind. Of course, well, the answer, the bottom line is, it's sin that's the problem. It's sin that brought the suffering into the world. Bible tells us by one man sin entered the world. By one man sin came and death with it. So you see, friends, ultimately, you know, the finality, if you like, you know, death, which comes to all men, the Bible says, has been appointed of God's. The wages of sin is the working of sin, and so too, of course, is the suffering. We live in a vale of tears. We live in a valley of death. The whole world, the whole earth, it was a graveyard of human beings. Some that have come and gone before you and I, and you'll come and go just the same way. But of course, as you travel through this vale of tears, you know, the suffering, the groaning, the aching in your heart. Yeah, I understand it, I get it. I've been there. I've had 75 years of it, almost. So I know, I understand. But help comes in the name of the Lord. You know, blame shifting, you know, looking to the wrong source doesn't help. You know, shouting that God doesn't help, you know, singing and crying God down out of heaven, that doesn't help. You know, going to unbelief doesn't help. Faith is see, trusting in God who has planned his redemption. You know, looking to the God who promises help and hope in the midst of the veil of tears. Bible says, Psalm 84, they go from strength to strength, every one of them. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear. O God of Jacob, behold, O God our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And further back it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in his heart are the ways of him who passing through the valley of Baca, that is the veil of tears, make it a well. Turn the veil of tears into a well of salvation. Water that I shall give you, Jesus says, you shall never thirst again. Go to the well of salvation. In the midst of your troubles, sorrow, elsewhere in the book of Psalms, in the same book, you got the psalmist, he talks about, he found sorrow, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of death got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Well, I guarantee he didn't have to go looking when he says he found sorrow, not because he was looking for it. You don't have to go looking for it, and neither do I. None of us needs to go looking for it. It comes to us soon enough. As surely as the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble, the Bible says. But the fountain of that trouble is is our own sin natures in which we're conceived, in which we're born. That's the source. That's the pit where they all come from. But help is to be found in the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord. He helped me, the psalmist says. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yeah, our God is merciful. There's mercy. There's mercy with God. He looks down upon the kingdom of man. He sees us in our brokenness. There's pity, there's compassion, there's grace with God. His plan of salvation. God designed this salvation before the foundation of the world so that we could, in looking to Him and calling upon His name, that we might find the help, the grace, the compassion, the pity, the mercy that we need as we travel through this veil of tears. But turning in unbelief, hardening our hearts, just makes it worse, makes it more bitter, leaves you without the help, without the grace that a man or woman needs. But the bottom line, friends, is that we are born in sin, and as a result of that, we need to be born again. We're born of the flesh, we're born into this world as just simple brute beasts, if you like. You know? Conceived in sin, born in sin, with sinful natures. Natures that are contrary to God's law, contrary to the character and will of God. And from those sin natures come everything that is contrary to God and keeps us under the displeasure of God, the wrath of God even. And it can only be lifted, it can only be taken from us through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who God sent into the world to be our Savior, to be your deliverer, that calling upon His name, that you might find the help, the veil of tears, that you might, instead of rebelling, instead of blame shifting, instead of blaming God for the trouble that you find yourself in, for the pain, the suffering, the tears, the sickness, whatever it might be, contrary to that, calling upon the name of the Lord and finding the help that He alone can afford you, to open your eyes and to see the glory of God, to open your eyes and to see that this world is God's, that this world is transient, that this world is passing, and so too are you. So many of you, especially young people here in Nottingham City this afternoon, you know, and you're preparing to live when what you should be doing is, you should be preparing to die. Because that's the only one certainty that you've got in this world, that you're going to die. They're pointed unto man wants to die, after that the judgment. Are you ready for that? Yeah, the suffering in this world, this veil of tears, in the valley of Baca, yeah, it's bad enough. It makes us groan, it makes us ache, it makes us bitter. But friends, you turn to the well of God's salvation, and you find sweetness. You find the sweetness of God's forgiveness. You find refreshment in your weariness. You find solace and comfort, consolation, in turning to God, in turning to the one who planned this salvation, and in the one who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world that you might be saved. From the cause, the root cause, the sin, that which causes the suffering, that which causes the tears, that which causes the pain, that which causes the death, but not just physical death, spiritual death, separation from God now, but of course, everlasting eternal death. wages of sin is death. Friends, it's appointed for us all. But are you ready? Are you ready not to live? Are you ready not to spend your life frizzing away, you know, in worldliness? Are you ready for that time when you're going to depart this world? Are you ready to die, not live? Because that's the only one certainty that you've got as you travel through this veil of tears. At the end of it is the certainty of death. It's sin's wages. Spiritual, physical, eternal, everlasting death, unless that is you're visited with everlasting life, eternal life. And that can only be had through Jesus Christ, the gift of God. But of course, if you live, if you travel through this veil of tears in unbelief, if you travel through this world, friends, without God, without hope for this world, and without hope for the world to come, friends, your lot, your end is indeed everlasting death, eternal death. Surely as I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn. Turn, says God, why will ye die when eternal life could be yours, the gift of God, through faith in the Son of God? You see, friends, eternal life, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. We're not talking about religion. Religion can't put the life of God into your soul. Religion can't give you life. There's no solace there. There's no comfort in religion. In dead, fleshly religion, there are only two religions in all the world. God's religion and the religion of the devil. And the devil has many expressions to his religiosity. Islam, Buddhism, Roman Catholicism, the Watchtower Society, and so it goes on. Thousands of them, of expressions of fleshly, deathly religion that offers you no comfort, no solace, that offers you no consolation, none whatsoever. But God, the true and living God, He has given us His Word. He has given us His promise. He has given us His salvation. That's what the Bible is, friend. It's a promise from God. It's a promise of life. It's a promise of comfort. It's a promise of consolation. As you travel through this veil of tears, hope for this world and hope for the world to come. But without God, there is no hope. Without the true and living God, there is no hope. Without His Son, Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You see, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, born again to a living hope. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified freely by His grace and made to inherit the hope of eternal life. So now you see, friends, you know that the gospel, the good news, God's Son, Jesus Christ, born into this world that you might be born again, that you might be justified, made right with God, freely by His grace. Grace that which you don't deserve, grace that which you can't work for, be religious for, kind for, or anything for, that is only and simply bestowed, that is only and simply given to you by God through His Son Jesus Christ in the way of faith. According to His mercy, He saved us, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, in giving His Son Jesus Christ into this world, that through Him that you might have the hope of eternal life. there is no hope. In this veil of tears, there is no hope. Without Jesus, without the Son of God, He is the hope, He is the life, He is the way, He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father. No one gets right with God but by me. None other name, the Bible says, under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Only in Jesus, only the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, in order to pay the penalty of the law, to deal with the sin, the root cause of all our tears, of all our sorrow, of all our suffering, to deal with the cause, not the effect. Trouble isn't the world. Trouble isn't your world. Religions all deal with the effects, not the cause. Because they've not even begun to understand the cause. They've not even begun to understand what the root of the matter is. It's our sin. It's our sin natures in which we're born. And until you deal with the cause, till you get to the root of the matter, you're never going to get any relief from the cause. And the cause is sin. And the effect, of course, is the misery, is the veil of tears through which we walk. But you deal with the cause, you take away the sin. And Jesus came to take away the sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was born for that purpose. God so loved the world that He gave a world sick with sin, a world rotten with sin. God so loved such a world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in their sin in this veil of tears, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't have to. We're already condemned, self-condemned, sinners to a man, to a woman. That's why we suffer. That's why the veil of tears, that's why the pain, that's why the sickness, sin came into the world and death by sin, and all the suffering that you see in the world. But God's answer to it all, to the root problem, sin, is His Son Jesus Christ offered up to die on a cross, that through Him that you might be saved. That you might be delivered from the root cause, and that you might have peace with God, and that you might know the peace of God in your heart, your mind, and your soul, that you might know hope for this world and for the world to come, that you might know a joy, everlasting joy, a joy, Jesus says, that no man can take from you. That's not the world's happiness. The world's happiness depends on circumstances. Having money in the bank, having a plastic card to use in the shops, you know, having booze inside you, drugs inside you, a good human relationship, you know, that itself is transient because it'll come to an end sooner or later. A joy that no man can take from you. An everlasting joy. Why? Because you're right with God. Because your sins are forgiven. Because the bondage of sin has been broken. Slaves. Like I said to begin with, the man's talking about slavery from 400 years ago. We're still slaves. We're born slaves. Sin is our master, every one of us. And unless you've been set free, unless Jesus has taken your sin away, sin is still your master. Still your master. And will be right to the very end. Unless Jesus breaks the chains and sets you free. But that's what He came for. That's what He lived for. That's what He died for. He died an atoning death that you might be set free from sin. No longer living under the bondage of your slave master, sin, doing its bidding. about living in obedience to the righteousness of God. Through the power of God. See, friends, the gospel is still the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Not to all who are religious. Not to all men head for head. It's the power of God unto salvation for him that believeth. The one who trusts in Jesus. The one who trusts in the gospel. The one who trusts in the everlasting gospel. Friends, God's power unto salvation, the gospel, still today in 2018, in spite of all your advances, in spite of all the advances, medical science, and science in general, all your technology, all your fancy gear. Look at the world, look at society, look at men and women. Are you really, really, honestly, any better off? Have you stopped killing one another? Have you stopped slaughtering one another? Is it making you, all these technological advances, is it making you kinder to one another, sweeter to one another? Do you live in perfect harmony together as a result of all these scientific advances? No, friends, the truth of the matter is the world is just the same. Every generation says the same thing. This is a modern age. We don't need the gospel no more. This is a modern age. We've got science, we've got technology. But you ain't no better for it. You ain't no better off. Still sinners to a man, to a woman. Still again God, still again one another. Some of God's law is love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. But nobody ever loved their neighbor until they were born of the God of love. You can't love, you can't truly love until you've been born again of the God of love. God is love, not just love. Yeah, he's righteous, he's just, he's holy, he's all these other things, but he is the God of love. And friends, sinners born again of the God of love, are sinners who love. I'm still a sinner. I've been a Christian for 38 years, but yeah, I'm still a sinner. But the difference between me and you is that I'm forgiven. I've been justified before God. I have the promise of heaven cleared in the court of heaven, not because of something I've done, not because anything in me, not because of any good thing in me, and not even because I'm preaching the gospel to you, but simply and only by the grace of God. Simply and only because of Jesus Christ, because of his suffering and death, because he took the penalty. He took my punishment upon himself on the cross, and in its place he gave me the love of God. And now I can come to you in love and preach the gospel. Now I can come and tell you about God's love. Now I can come and tell you about the source of salvation, the well of salvation. It's the love of God for sinful men and women who are contrary to him, men and women, even men and women who blaspheme his name and curse him to his face. Reprobate, debased minds. And yet God persists and insists in his love. Friends, a veil of tears. The world has never been anything else since man fell into sin. And it never will be till the end of the age. Never will be. Pain and suffering and sickness and death. A veil of tears. But in the midst of your tears, turn your tears into a well by turning to God. In Jesus Christ, the one who in his love gave you his very best, his son, his only begotten son, the one whom you love supremely, ultimately. There is nobody but his son that he loves more, but he gave him up to the death of the cross for a sinner such as you, someone who's contrary to God, someone who was born that way, born in sin, conceived in sin even, and one who has lived in sin all your days and complained at God and reared against God when things go wrong with you. And yet, his love is towards you. He so loved such a world as this that he gave his only begotten son, allowed him to be mistreated, abused by the hands of wicked and cruel men, nailed to a cross, his blood spilled so that you and I could be washed and made clean, so that we could know his forgiveness. Justified by his resurrection from the dead, so that the chains could be broken and fall away and delivered from our slavery. It says in both testaments of the Bible, the old and new, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Delivered from the world, the flesh, the devil. You may not have a care for your soul today, I tell you, but there are millions of minions who do. There's a devil with all his demonic host arrayed against your soul that seek to populate hell with as many as he possibly can. There's a world that's arrayed against your soul. There's your own flesh, life, your own sinful lusts and desires that war against your soul, that would keep you, all that would keep you and drag you down in this veil of tears and keep you from the enjoyment of God, the presence and the power and the salvation of God, that would keep you from the hope of eternal life that is simply and freely offered to you. The gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift that is offered to you here in the valley of tears, here in this veil of tears, in the veil of Baca, as the psalmist calls it. A veil of tears, such as this world is. Oh, friends, in the midst of your tears and your pain and your crying and your groaning and your lamenting because of your sufferings, because the afflictions that come to human beings, none of us escape them, not even those who are Christians. We don't escape the common sufferings of humanity. They're common to us all. But there's hope, there's help, there's joy to be found in the midst of it all, in looking to your Creator, the one who made you. Now you were not hatched out in some primordial sludge. You're not a piece of chemical fizz. You're not a piece of stardust. You're a man, woman, who originally was made in the image of God, but an image that's been marred and spoiled by sin. Friends, God is your Creator. He made you in love, and he made you to be loved and to love. And here is the greatest tragedy, I tell you, of human sin. It's a world that does not love. Oh, it talks about love. It sings about love. But what it's talking about is L-U-S-T, is lust. What it's talking about is emotional nonsense. I'm talking about a comprehensive, I'm talking about an intelligent love, I'm talking about the love of God. The God you in love made you to be loved. To be loved and to love. And demands of you that you should love. That you should love him and that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But do what you will and say what you will to me. Revile me if you like. But you won't stop me loving you. You won't stop me loving you, and you won't stop me coming Monday after Monday to tell you the good news of God's love and salvation, God's healing stream, God's mighty power to save. I tell you, the worst of you, the best of you, the most broken of you, and the most respectable of you. Matters not who, matters not what you are, matters not what your background is, matters not the sin that you've been involved in. Friends, we are all sinners. The most respectable of you. Those of you, you know, who think yourselves to be good people, oh, I'm a good person, you say. No, you're not. There's none good, says God, none that doeth good, none righteous, says God, not a single one. We're all gone out of the way. We're all contrary to God. There's none of us good, friends. There's not such a thing as a good person. From the derelict on the street to the most religious, respectable person in some cathedral. I was preaching just last week in the city of Oxford, and we had a woman come to us. She told us that she sang in the cathedral choir. Oh, what a good person she was. Within 5 minutes, she was blaspheming and cursing and giving us F-bombs. A good person, a religious person. Some of the religious people in the world are the most awful, are the most demon-possessed, demonic people in this world. And they need to be delivered too, from their religiosity, their respectability, from their perception of being good persons. Friends, we all of us, to a man, to a woman, we all suffer. Children as well. We suffer in the veil of Baca. We suffer in this veil of tears because of sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is the pit, the source from which all the trouble, all the suffering flows from. But there's another fountain. There's another well. There's another source. And it's the well of salvation. It's a stream that flows from Calvary's cross. It's a healing stream. It's a stream that makes a person well. It's a healing stream because it heals our brokenness. It heals our broken relationship with God, first of all. And then it begins to heal our broken relationships with our fellow man. It's a healing stream. It's a powerful, powerful, mighty stream that flows down from Calvary. I tell you, it gives men and women the power, because the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of His love, His transforming love, His transforming grace, healing grace, enabling us to love the way that God would have us to love. No, not perfectly. One day perfectly, in heaven's glory, when we're done in this veil of tears, when the veil of Baca is behind us, and we breathe our last, and we go to be with God forever, then perfectly we shall love and be loved. But in the meantime, saved by the grace of God, forgiven, assured and promised heaven, promised a hope in the future. But friends, able by the power of God, by the power of the gospel, to love in a way that we never loved before.
Thank you, ma'am.
Able, friends, as never you did before, able to love God and able to love your neighbor. Yeah, surely the world needs love, but the world hates. The world hates God. That's the nature that we're born with. We come into the world hating God and hating our neighbor. That's why the violence, that's why the killing, That's why the tears, that's why the suffering, that's where it comes from. But friends, God has done something. God has done something mighty. God historically proved again and again. The Bible, the record, the testimony of God concerning His Son Jesus Christ sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. God has done something. Please do not say to me, what has God ever done for me? God has done for you, believe me, measurably beyond anything you could ever imagine, in sending His Son into the world to die and rise again from the dead. That God should be manifest in the flesh, that God should become a man, step down into this veil of tears and die and rise again from the dead, that you might know, that you might bathe in that healing stream, that you might know the love of God in Jesus Christ. I tell you, that surpasses knowledge, that melts the hardest heart, that melts a man, a hardened sinner, to tears of repentance, a turning from sin, a turning from that source of the trouble, turning from the wickedness and evil of the world in its age, and turning to the Son of God for forgiveness. We all need, that's what I was trying to tell the black man to begin with, who raised the matter of slavery. That's what I was trying to tell him, that we all need forgiveness. We all need release. We all need freedom from the chains, from the bondage of sin. We all need to be forgiven. The white man has abused the black man, but the black man has abused the white man. It works both ways. Friends, there's no race. You want racism? Well, go to Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was an epic racist. Charles Darwin was an arch racist. There's no racist in the Bible. There's no racism in the gospel. There's no racism in me, not an ounce. Friends, black or white, pink or yellow, wherever you come from, the east or the west, the north or the south, or anywhere in between, you're a man, you're a woman, made of God, but born in sin, and living in a veil of tears, and in need of God's forgiveness, in need of God's release, in need of being set free. And if the Son of God, that is, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He is able to release you, break the chains, cancel the power of sin, and set you free from the law of sin and death. But you must come to Him. You must trust Him. You must put your faith in Him, in the work of another, in the righteousness of another. Because your work and mine is not acceptable to God. It's tainted with sin. Your righteousness is not acceptable to God. It's like filthy rags, He says. You need the righteousness of another, of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, in that day when God judges the world in righteousness, unless you're found trusting in the righteousness of another, even Jesus, you're going to be in a bad place. Because then, see, it's too late. Then the door's shut. Then the day of grace is over. Too late then to be calling on the name of the Lord. Too late then to be looking for a Bible. Too late then to be listening to the street preacher. Now, friends, now is the acceptable time, says God. Now, in the midst of all your sufferings, as you walk through this veil of tears, come to the One who can really help you. Not the state, not religion, not the church. Friends, the true and living God. God who sent His Son Jesus into the world, that through Him you might be saved. I agree with that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Now is the time, now is the day, says God. So I urge you today, while you have the breath of life in you, because, well, you don't know for how long that will be. The last time I preached in this very spot, 3 weeks ago, there's a man dropped down to the floor, right behind me, about 10 yards behind me. They took him away in an ambulance. Whether he lived or died, I do not know. But that could be you. That could be you. Any moment, any second, your life could be taken, removed out of this world forever. So friends, today, I urge you right now, in the quiet recesses of your own heart, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, the Bible says, and then return unto the Lord. He will show mercy. There's mercy with God. There's love with God. There's pity with God. There's compassion with God for broken sinners. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent his Son into the world. A heart of compassion, mercy, and pity that we would never had known. Had sin not come into the world, and had God not provided salvation. The fact that there is a Savior, and the fact that he has done the business, the fact that he has lived and died and rose again from the dead, and has returned to heaven and rules the world in righteousness, is a demonstration to you of the love, of the compassion, of the mercy, of the kindness of God. So I bid you turn to him today. Well, you may call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved from the power and from the penalty and the presence of sin as you travel through this veil of tears. There's help to be found. There's